always a lot of emotion around trade period, and a fair bit of it centred on Collingwood this morning. Tom Brown has been covering this story for us right from the start. Tommy, with a number of players exiting Collingwood, what have you made of it all?
Das, we're about to get to Jeff Walsh and hear from the man himself shortly, Collingwood's football director, but a lot of this hinges on Jaden Stevenson's comments last night. Stevenson, of course, going to North Melbourne on a five-year deal worth $500,000 plus. An interesting aspect of this discussion is the communication that Collingwood had with Stevenson in recent weeks. He learnt of it through his manager and then had a discussion with Nathan Buckley. Rosie, this is what Jaden Stevenson said about his call to Bucks, clarifying the situation. I think it was last week.
I gave Bucks a call myself just to see what was going on and how it was, and he just pretty much said, mate, look for a trade as aggressively as you want and we'll try to facilitate it. So, yeah, there wasn't a very clear reasoning or anything, but like I said, I think it's all worked out for the best now. He said he doesn't know if I've allowed myself to open up to the group, which I don't necessarily agree with, but if that's how he saw it, he's the coach and he's provocative. So, I'll definitely be endearing myself to my new teammates and coaches, and hopefully I can, put a better foot forward there if that's what he thought my problem was.
So that's Jaden Stevenson finds his way to North Melbourne. Adam Treloar to the Bulldogs. Tom Phillips goes to Hawthorn. Jeff Walsh is the general manager of football at Collingwood. 36 years while she's been involved in football. 26 of those have been finals campaigns, premier success in their halcyon era at North Melbourne and the 2010 premiership at Collingwood. Walshy joins us this morning. You've seen a bit of emotion in footy before. Walshy, what did you make of Jaden Stevenson's thoughts on his way out the door?
I suppose if we're going to start there, Das, that's fine. And, you know, we, like all of the four boys that have departed last night, we don't have any ill will or ill words that we want to speak against any of those boys, and we wish them all the best. And they've been, great servants of the Collingwood Footy Club in some cases a short time they've been here, or in others, a bit longer. But I really can't let Jaden's comments be etched in history as the version of what he said. Now, and I'm not saying he's been mischievous or anything, but certainly throughout the year, on a number of occasions, Jaden was spoken to by both teammates and coaches and administration on what he needed to do to become or get back to being the football that he briefly displayed in his first year. What he needed to do if he wanted to continue to be a good quality AFL player and a good quality Collingwood AFL player. So that was reinforced to him on a number of occasions. And then in the exit interview, which was only a day or so after we left the hub, those points were all reinforced in terms of where we see his career at that particular moment and where we predicted that it would need to where it may ebb and flow, depending on, a response from him. So, as I say, I can't let that particular comment go and remain unanswered, because and that's not me being critical of the boy, but it's certainly providing some balance.
Well, Tom Brown's got some questions. He's very keen to fire your way, but you're saying Jaden Stevenson shouldn't be surprised that he finds himself out of Collingwood. You're saying that message was really conveyed to him right across the year, and the standards weren't up to what you'd expect, and that was on the cards. Is that a summation of it?
Well, without going into the detail, Luke, he certainly was made well aware of where we seen there were shortcomings. We seen there was room for improvement. And as I say, that was from a cross section of people that he would have been involved with at the club, including coaches, including teammates.
Jeff, Tom Brown, where does this leave the club, Jeff, from a salary perspective? Some people will look at this today and think it might have been a personnel decision. Others will think it was a salary dump, and you could have, I guess, rehabilitated, for want of a better word, Stevenson, even given his concerns. Where are you from a salary perspective, and how big a role did that play in these decisions?
Well, I think that's been hugely exaggerated. In essence, TPP, salary caps, they're the bane of every football program, every football administration, because we want to pay our players as well as we can. We want to get as many good players into our program as we can. and we want to observe the AFL rules and regulations on salary cap limits. So it's salary caps are always going to be an issue at the pointy end of footy programs. But to what I've read in the last 24, 48 hours, it's the situation in Collingwood has been highly exaggerated.
And Jeff, just moving on to Adam Treloar and his situation, obviously, and I'll get to Collingwood's communication on this point shortly, but just in terms of, I guess, a basic question that a lot of people have had, it looked like the Suns were interested at a point in time, and his family had elected to move next year for netball to Queensland. Why didn't Adam want to go to the Suns in the end?
Oh, mate, I'm not aware of any of that detail. That's a question that you need to put to the player. I have no idea of the workings of his mind, and I'm not even sure what you're saying is correct. So that's not a question for me. That's a question for Adam.
And obviously, Ned Guy was asked last night on Fox Footy in terms of how much Collingwood will pay of Adam Treloar's salary. It's been reported up to $300,000 a season. Is that correct, Walshy? Can you clarify that this morning?
Well, one of the things that I have observed over a long period of time is that I don't comment, and we don't comment in general on any player's salary or contract. I'm not about to change that at this stage of the game.
So, Walshy, one of the perceptions is that quality players, people that you love, and you know, Jaden was a rising star winner. Collingwood's only rising star winner, and Adam Treloar, we know, is a high quality player, and Tom Phillips in the same bracket, and then you go back and get draft selections. I suppose the emotion for the Collingwood loving member who's listening this morning will say, "Hang on, Walshy, what does that mean? You've got rid of that amount of talent, and we've secured some draft picks, but on balance, on paper, maybe it doesn't look like it's we've come out with a good day out of the tray." How do you answer that to the Collingwood fans?
Yeah, and that's a fair question from the Collingwood fans, and yeah, and I think our footy program people in it, the coach, myself, our list manager, and everyone else, you know, we're answerable to our board and to our CEO, but we're also answerable to our members and supporters, and so that's a fair question, and they would embrace the Treloars, the Stevensons, the R2s, the Phillips, because they see them running around in the Guernsey. They don't see a draft pick when you say it's 5, 6, 10, 15. They don't. It's very hard to embrace a draft pick. But so I understand the immediate emotion because they're losing what they see as flesh and blood and replacing it with a number on a whiteboard. But yeah, one of our primary motivations was to get into the draft as close to the pointy end as we could. We think, you know, what we've ended up with is two first-round draft choice. We think this is a very good draft. And the other thing that we've managed to secure is a suite of future first or second-round draft picks as well, which if we elect to use those, we can then get further into the pointy end of the draft this year. So, you know, I think our primary motivation in improving the list is we also understand that to get better, you have to give good players. Like, you know, I can't remember how long it's been when a club can sit back on trade night and snigger up their sleeve and say, gee, we pulled a Swiftie on that club. In this day and age, you have to give good to get better. And that's exactly what we're acknowledging. Yeah, we understand that Treloar and Phillips and Stevenson have been good players and are good players and will continue to be good players. But the other thing that I'm sure our supporters don't forget, and we as the management team don't forget, is that we were a fair way off the mark in that last game. Now, I know you don't measure everything on the last game, but in the pointy end of finals, you know, we played a pretty poor game on all measures in the last game against Geelong. So that shows us that we do need to get better. And so our primary motivation is to improve the list. And history says the best way of improving your list and the best way of solidifying and of securing talent that will be there for a long time is via the draft.
Walshy, a lot of these points Collingwood's supporters will be hearing, I guess, from you for the first time this morning, because the club made a policy during the trade period not to talk until these deals were done. Is that a good policy? Do you think you should have got on the front foot and perhaps communicated this differently? Because you're copying it this morning, but a lot of the reasons you're giving make perfect sense, to be honest with you.
As I said before, we're accountable to our members and supporters, and we're accountable to our CEO and our board. A lot of the commentary is coming from the media, and that's their role and that's their job, and I respect that. But you know, we will always respect our members and supporters, and we think that we go to them in appropriate times through the appropriate forums. You know, unfortunately, for from some people's point of view, we don't conduct our business through the media.
Well, she, a back-ended contract's going to become an issue. We've seen potentially that with Jeremy Cameron having having issues where there was huge pay cuts this year. The players were forced upon them, and you end up wanting to do the right thing, and sometimes players want to do the right thing and give you some relief and back-end their contract. And then we find the situation where they're either not on it or renegotiated it. Are you concerned about that part of the industry?
I don't say concerned, but I mean, look, in an ideal world, if you're starting with a blank canvas and you've got 100% of your salary cap, yeah, in an ideal world, and players would furiously agree with this, that you want to pay the 100% of what that contract says for that particular year, every year, and then you start the year, the next year, with a new slate. Circumstances prevail that clubs have seen year after year that doesn't happen to various degrees. Now, in an ideal world, as I said, would you like to be having a 100% in, 100% out of the contract every year? Absolutely, you would. But is it something that you think is going to be prevalent without exception going forward? Very unlikely.
So, Walshy, just to wrap up, we appreciate your time and answering the questions with all your experience. If you look back and reflect on last night, did that go the way you hoped it to? Will you give that a tick to Ned Guy and the team? Do you think you got done what you needed to get done last night?
Well, as I said, I think our primary motivation was to position ourselves well in the draft. And I think with those the first-round selections and the suite of the future firsts and seconds, we've got the opportunity to be really well positioned in what we think is a good draft. And I think the other thing that buoys us in terms of hoping that we are on the right track to get better and planning to be on the right track to get better is I look at the likes of Quainer and Dacos and Kelly, the Brown brothers, Mark Keane, John Noble, the 24-year-olds in DeGoey, Moore and Maynard. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. We are positioning ourselves to remain as contenders, and we think this strategy is our best way to do it.
And Walsh, you just finally...
A couple of names you'll hear a bit more about. Sorry, Tommy. Reece McGuinness and Nick Dacos are two young superstars that Collingwood have got access to. So you got a final question, Tommy?
Yeah. Walsh, could you just clear up just finally? I know you've touched on the salary cap point. Does this free you up now to explore free agency next couple of years? I mean, I'm mindful that you had money at one point for Tom Lynch, and you went after him, and obviously you went to the Tigers. So perhaps the salary position is overstated, but do you have money now to go after free agents the next couple of years?
As I said before, Tom, we don't discuss those strategies publicly. We'll report those through to our list management committee, which Ed is a part of that. And I will correct you on that. We didn't ever go after Tom Lynch.
Jeff Walsh, the general manager of football. He's been in the industry as long or longer than anyone else, and he's been as successful at it as just about anyone. Thank you, Walshy.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff Walsh joining us there, Collingwood general manager of football. We might take some calls, 133-53.
Just to clear that last bit, spoke to him, didn't go after him.